Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
People on the other side of this pandemic as we were before the pandemic began. You won't be the same individual on the other side of this conclusion than before the news came to you that we were in a COVID-19 crisis. And here is the opportunity that the Lord provides. The opportunity is this, that you may be living a better life on the other side of this pandemic than you were before it began, because it has shaped you and changed you and affected you in a way that has brought you closer to God and in the image of God. You have felt the power of His presence working in you. So we can begin to get a picture of who we are becoming and who we will be as we go through this challenging time. And we may choose that by our response right now. It begins with remembering who you are. Yesterday, during our food ministry called Bountiful Blessing, we had members of our congregation pulling together food resources that fed 106 families. And one of those was a child that is going to benefit from your love and the gift that you gave in the middle of the crisis. His name is Theodore Christopher. Theodore means a gift of God. Christopher means a Christ bearer. Remembering who you are, that you yourself are a gift of God, and you yourself in this time can be bearing and following up in the ways of Christ so that others may see Christ more real in you and therefore see Christ more clearly as we move through this stretch of time. Then we can know this. We can know what is most real in this surreal time. The word surreal means it's kind of jagged, it's weird, it's different, it's bizarre. And in the midst of this surreal time, we can see more clearly what is actually real. It's not the stuff that maybe we have been spending so much of our time with before the crisis began. But it is being able to see who is most real, that we can celebrate then the gift that God gives us in the now. For instance, take the word passion. We can call out for our favorite team and be passionate. We can get excited about what our favorite pastime is with passion. And that is all good. But remember, the word passion means suffering alongside. And so we are headed towards Passion Week. We're not canceling the Passion Week of Palm Sunday, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter morning. We may be doing it differently. We may be doing it in the same way that we are right now, and we will be celebrating the gift of Christ overcoming through His passion. But you know what that week, that last week in the life of Jesus is called? It's called Passion Week, because He knew what suffering was, and He wasn't afraid of it. He knew that suffering could actually mean a reshaping, a redemption, the gift of opportunity of who a people could become in light of His love for them. And therefore, He stayed calm in the midst of the crisis. He stayed center in the midst of an uncentered world. And that same presence of the Christ who went before the pandemic of sin and came back into the moment to be able to express, I can see who you will be as you are willing to follow me. And that's the call of a disciple. See, that's your opportunity. As you review your schedule, you're spending your time differently. As you review where you're going, you're not going to the same places in the same way. And therefore, in that difference, make sure that you're allowing God to build His character in you. And to help us do that, Vicki read for us the scriptures for today. To help us do that, Debbie focused us in our children's message. to help us do that, then Jacob and our worship music team have been calling out the song of faith in our life. As we do that, Christopher called us into the experience of worship and guided us in a prayer. As we do that, in a moment, Judd is going to lead us into the experience of what offering means. As we do that, it means that God is with us all the time while we walk through the valley of the shadow. And so it was that the shepherd in writing Psalm 23:4, the good shepherd back in the day of King David. But Jesus later would pick up the image and to say, let me show you how the word shepherd is fully embodied, that he himself is the good shepherd, the savior of the world, and the Lord of lords, and the King of kings. The Lord over all time now, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. While walking through the valley of the shadow, you can know where you are and what's going on. I don't know about you, but I just got my report from my mobile device that I spent 17% more time on my mobile device this week than the week before. We're all spending more time, and whatever that way that we're taking in news from this larger world of which we are a part, how we're interacting with people, how we're learning and receiving. But let me tell you, make sure that you are doing that by taking in the accurate information and not people trying to play off your fears. There are a lot of folk trying to play off fears right now. But the Lord is the one who spoke 400 times in Scripture, do not be afraid because of him. The times are alarming, and we are aware without being scared. The times are being shaped by a crisis that becomes an opportunity. God did not cause COVID-19, but God is all the more real in our reality as we think about life and death. Every day we move through this, it's going to be a little clearer about how our world is changing. And as we're changing that, it creates a clear view for us. So we can call this like the valley of, while we're walking through this valley of the shadow, pay attention to the signs of God that have always been there. Don't take a sunrise for granted, nor a sundown. Don't take your health for granted. Don't take the resources of family and friends. Don't take for granted the opportunity of what it means to give forgiveness, to restore and reclaim broken relationships. Don't take for granted the gift of prayer, of being in communication with God. Don't take for granted the calling out of Scripture into your life. Don't take for granted whatever the talents that you have while you look for new ways to apply those talents to be a servant leader in the world in which we are. Knowing the times in which we're living is like walking through the valley of the shadow. And the amazing part is what we know is the whole world, 7.8 billion people, are all affected by the same crisis, which then becomes an opportunity for us to open the lens and see more clearly what God is seeking to provide. I have my Bible for today's worship service is my grandmother's Bible. My grandmother's Bible, who was born in the late 1800s and died in the early 1950s. I didn't meet her in person, but I met her by the legacy of her faith and life and the impact. I've been picking up her Bible recently and imagining what she had lived through. And that as she opened these scriptures, she opened the scriptures during the time of the Great Depression, the time when the home had become a boarding house so there could be food for the family members by also feeding and caring for others. The times when she was diagnosed with cancer, how she prayed when her firstborn into the world died at age 3 by an accident. That the gift of your life, shaped by Scripture, enables you to experience the truth of who God really is during the most difficult moments. While you're taking in the tweets from Twitter, while you're listening in to the messages of your news feed, make sure that you let all of that be shaped by a truth that is eternal to understand what you're actually reading. Fear no evil. So while we walk through the valley of the shadow, God knows what it's like for us to know fear. He knows what it's like, so he has given us the clarity of his promised faith His faith in us that we can trust in Him. He knows that we'll be tempted to trust in whatever will get us through the danger of the moment. But God says, don't give up to deceptions that will distract you from really being your best self in Christ. Right now, maybe you're with family or your friends. Right now, maybe you are experiencing time with loved ones or communicating and reaching out to people in various ways because you know that's a good practice. And when you are tempted to a bad practice, you can say, I'm not going to go there. And when you are tempted to distort your character by the deceptions of this world, you can say, that's not who I am. That's not the best me. And I'm headed towards being a better person on the other side of this pandemic than I was when I began. Oberammergau is a little Bavarian village in the country of Germany. In 1634, they were recovered from the bubonic plague. It was plaguing the whole continent of Europe. And in the midst of that bubonic plague, they prayed. And they prayed for protection and care and grace. And they made a pledge that when the plague was over, every 10 years they would put on the Passion story of Jesus. Every 10 years they would put on a play production conveying the story of the last week in the life of Jesus and his resurrection. And it's one of the most famous theatrical productions in all the world. And in 1634, since then to today, they've only canceled it 4 times. They just announced they're canceling it in 2020. Many of us were going to be there in person this summer. So what we take from this is that the plagues have been around for a long time. It's part of the biblical story. It's a part of the world history. And what we also take from this is that people of faith understand what it means to make a pledge to who we will become in the midst of a present crisis. And when the crisis passes, we don't forget that pledge, but we've actually been allowing that pledge to shape us along the way. And the story in Oberammergau, it's people of that small Bavarian village who actually become the characters in the production. 2,000 people. Well, we're a community of Trinity Baptist Church. We're a community of San Antonio, and by way of our live streaming and Facebook Live, we're joining with people in other parts of the world. And knowing that in this way, we are all in this together. And let our prayers be with you and encouragement be with you and our connections to be with you so that no one will give into the deception of fear that will lead us into evil, but the promise of faith that overcomes, because this is what is most true. Also in Psalm 23:4, for the Lord is with me. He's with you. He's with you during those 3 o'clock a.m. moments when you don't know how you're going to pay the bills. He's with you when you begin to cough, a little dry cough, and you begin to feel a little weak, and you wonder if you have COVID-19. He's with you when you wonder what's going to be happening with your job. For the Lord is with you. He understands the pressures and the pulls. And as we move through this experience, God says, allow me to take you through the crisis. It will look differently on the other end, but you will be able to see me more clearly on the other side than you have right now because you have fewer distractions going on in your life. In the midst of this, we can know that we have been given the testimony of other people that have encouraged us. One is from our own church in Marjorie Brake. When in 1949, when there was a polio scare going on in our country, and the practices of how families were needing to give care to themselves and to others, others of you listening in were affected directly by that crisis. Marjorie, as a little girl, found one morning it was hard for her to kind of lift herself out of bed. A doctor came and realized that she had polio in the lower part of her back. It changed everything within her life in that time and for her family. The doctor gave great care. Her friends who would be on the other side of the window of her bedroom, and like they could virtually play with each other because there wasn't the mobile devices of today. And by God's grace, Marjorie fully recovered. So you can see this, not only the picture of when she was a child, the one who was sitting in the chair, but you can also see her as an adult on a recent birthday in a celebration. I asked Marjorie to write that testimony in order for us to be able to see her promise being lived out years later. And she reminded me that that was the year 1949 when Trinity Baptist Church began. That for such a time in a crisis, the church is the church, and the church is in the becoming stage of more fully alive in the promises of God. We make our promises now so that we will be who we'll need to be on the other side. Now, I was a young pastor in Finchfield, Kentucky during my seminary days, and a full-time pastor, and Catherine Duvall was going to have surgery. I went to downtown Louisville and walked into the hospital room of this retired teacher, this country lady, who had an elegance about the strength in her character, and I prayed with Catherine before her surgery. And as I said amen and was walking away from her bedside, I said to her, "Catherine, I'll see you on the other side." Well, at that very moment, her surgeon was walking in. And he didn't know if what I meant on the other side, like she's not going to make it through the surgery and I'm going to see her in heaven, or the other side of the surgery. So he said, "May I speak to you for a minute?" We went out in the hallway and we had a conversation, and I clarified what the other side was. We chuckled with each other. And then the truth is, we have to live in the awareness of both simultaneously. We are in the here and the now, but the yet and what is to come will show itself. And so Jesus in Matthew 25 is laying out that truth. He said, "I am the Son of Man." And when the time in this world comes to a close, never to be taken for granted what we have in today, when the time in this eon in this world comes to a close, whether for you individually or for a large happening, will you be ready? Will you be ready? Jesus said, "By your trusting in me and allowing me truly to be the source of love in your life, to be the Savior in your life, to trust me with your whole self, then you have stirring inside you my presence as the Son of God, bring power into the presence of the problems, the pathway that you're having to live. And then you will be able to see more clearly." And what will we see? Well, what we will see are people who are thirsty and we'll give them a drink. What we'll see are people who are hungry and give them food. What we will see are people who are strangers and we will befriend them. What we will see are people who are ill and we'll give them care. What we will see, people who are naked, and that we will give them clothes. What we will see is people in prison and to make a visit with them. Now, how we do those kind of six actions today is a little different than how we would normally do it. But know that this is the call in your life and my life, that in the midst of our social distancing, we're not isolating ourselves from other people. That in the midst of this time of needing to keep at least a 6-foot difference, not having groups of more than 10, and being very careful wherever we go, that it's not distancing ourselves from the needs and the push and the pull of what's going on in other people's lives. People will remember how you cared for them during this season of lock, even as you will remember how people cared for you. And the Lord says, this is when it really gets good. The Lord says, this is something that everyone may do, and it gets really good when you extend your love into the life of another, because then this goodness of resources of God will see us through. That's the rod and the staff of God. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, these resources of God will see me through the valley, his very presence." And that we may do that as part of God's rod and staff in our world, even though we're having to do it in a way where we can't be there in physical presence of person, but we can be there in ways of sending messages and love. But there are some ways, in some circumstances, we can adapt what we've normally been doing, such as yesterday morning, when the bountiful blessing provided then the groceries for 106 families. There were members of our bountiful blessing team who knew most every one of those 106 family members by name. We did our best to keep social distancing. No one got out of the car that came by the drive-thru to get the groceries. We tried to practice all the right kind of sanitary applications. But we realized that in their ingenuity as part of our church family, there's still a way for us to do this, and that we did that. In your creativity, the Lord will show you how you may live your mission daily. It's a mission to be on mission with God. It's on a mission to draw closer to God as you allow yourself to see Him more clearly. It's a mission to know that your life has a purpose. And it's a mission like holding the heart in your hand. And we offer a prayer like what C-Mac offered, asked us to pray earlier. We say, Lord, remind me that what is most needed for me to give is the love that I have. And then remind me that in my heart that I may be able to live with a life of love into others. That's there for all seasons. All seasons. The promises of God in Scripture right now, I want you to read them like in Matthew 25 and Psalm 23. I want you to pray them. I want you through this week to take some of the hymns and the songs that we have sung, some of which have been shared in our worship experience, and let God bring it back to your memory. To tap into the resources of what's at trinitybaptist.org, we've upgraded our homepage and our website to be ready just for this time. That in this time, I'm grateful like you are for our Trinity production team, for our team on the facilities team, for the administrative staff, for our pastors and all of our ministers, for the leaders in the life of a church, for all of our worship leaders who are here, lifting them up, even as each of us then are lifting you up. Because the life of the church goes on in this unusual day, because the God is the God of all seasons, the maker of heaven and earth. Living hope is the promise of what God gives. This is whether at Crossings or in the sanctuary, we have a response song in which people are invited to come forward for prayer. People are invited to come and to share their decision for Christ. The living presence of God in our midst is Savior, who guides us as Lord. Of what it means to be as a member of the life of the church, to join in as a brother and sister, to let ourselves be on this journey together. Doesn't it feel kind of different not being able to be together in person, but to know that we are still together? So where you are, the Lord knows. Right where you are, make your decision for the Lord. That it comes after this pandemic. We're going to have a baptismal party. I can picture it. People who have made a decision to give their whole self in a trusting relationship with Christ Jesus. Sins forgiven. Faith celebrated. That we'll be together being again in a person, and the celebration of baptism will unfold. We'll be taking photographs of people and having people share and stand who made a decision becoming a part of our church family during this time. At the same time, we pray for people around the world in all the lands. And we pray for the churches of every continent that you too may see yourself in the future. And the call is right now, determine who you are in Christ. And let Christ walk you on the journey as a living hope for you to claim. As you sing, let your song be the expression of your hope commitment. As you pray, let your prayers be into the presence of God in His living power. Where you are, come to the Lord.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.